messages or the calls, and just letting me know that you're praying for me. I certainly need it. I need wisdom and just some circumstances and decisions of how to handle things. So if you could just, I know many of you do already, but let me just say I appreciate your prayers and keep it up if I could. Romans chapter 14 tonight. Romans chapter 14. In verse 1, him that is weak in the faith receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. And him that eateth despise him that eateth not. See that? Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. And let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth. For God hath received him. Who art thou that judgeth another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he that be holden up, for he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. Verse 5. One man esteemeth one day another above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. And then he says this phrase that I kind of want to focus in on. It says, let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for tonight. Thank you again for, Lord, knowing that you hear our prayers, that you would even listen in on us, but God, that you are concerned and you care for us, and I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that I can bring requests that truly I can do nothing about physically, but spiritually I can turn these things over to you, and I'm thankful that you have an interest in these things. Pray for the gospel that has been given out this week. Pray for those that are in recovery, that they may recover quickly. I pray for those that are stepping into the medical world, maybe with some unknowns. I pray you have your hand about those. God, now as we open up your word, I pray that you speak to our hearts. And God, help us to see the benefit of being fully persuaded in our mind. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Here the context, we know Romans chapter 14 is one of those gray areas, right? I mean, that's what we're dealing with. An area where, hey, one person believes this and another person believes that. And how do you make sense of all that? And kind of gives us instruction concerning, again, what I would consider maybe some gray area. One guy says, I don't eat meat. And another person says, well, I eat meat. Well, don't despise the one that says he's eating meat, and don't despise the one that's eating herbs. That's pretty much what they're saying here. Right? Do we agree? Do we see that? Okay, good. All right. Some of you say, please don't bring up food. Like, just move on, past. Okay, I understand. But it says, let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. Man, that's a great feeling when you've prayed about something, you sought the counsel of God the counsel of another, and God has fully convinced you of something spiritually or taught you something. Don't you feel like, man, that's a great feeling when you get a handle on a truth? Isn't that a blessing? Something that God teaches you. You know, there are certain topics that certainly if someone comes and says, Pastor, what do you think about that? I will share what I believe, what God says, but I don't want you to believe something because I say it. I want you to believe it because you are fully persuaded in your own mind, that you have sought those things out, that you have studied the scriptures, that you have prayerfully considered certain things, and that now you can walk knowing that you are fully persuaded. Man, what a great feeling that is, to know God has spoken to me and I have an answer, not because I'm following a person or not because I watch some video or whatever, but God has given me direction on things. Praise the Lord to be fully persuaded. I want you to look over to Acts chapter 4. I want to show you some people. We got 3 points tonight. No poem. Maybe I could work on something. But 3 points about the benefits of being fully persuaded. Acts chapter 4, we'll start in verse 5. We'll read through verse 12. Acts chapter 4 and verse 5, this is the beginning of the church, right? We don't have much going on. It's just starting out. We've gone through Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost. At the end of that chapter, verse 41, we see 3,000 souls that have been added. In chapter 4, in verse 4, it tells us that about 5,000 more people have believed the Word of God. Man, unbelievable things happened in there. And Acts chapter 4 and verse 5. And it came to pass on the morrow that the rulers and elders and scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, "By what power or by what name have ye done this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, "Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all, and to all people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified..." Man, he's getting on right now. All of a sudden it switched over to answering for their... He's getting a little preachy to them. "Be it known unto you all..." I can see his finger wagging. "And to all the people of Israel, by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified..." Now it's getting a little nasty. "Whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole." The problem is that they healed the man. And they got called into question, and now they're in trouble. "This is the stone," verse 11, "which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner." Look at this, verse 12. "Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Peter is preaching to these high up religious officials that do not agree with him. And he says, and they're giving him a hard time about these things. And he point blank says, "Jesus Christ is the only way." He is bold in that. Say, how could he do such things? How could he stand there with such confidence and with such boldness and conviction? Because he was fully persuaded. He was fully persuaded in his mind. Look at verse 13. "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John..." Hey, what's the benefit of being fully persuaded? Boldness. How does a... Chloe, how old are you? 15? How does a 15-year-old girl who weighs 90 pounds soaking wet go up to two strangers, or maybe she knows them, and shares the gospel? How does she have such boldness? How can she do so? Because she's fully persuaded. She's been fully convinced that the words that she holds in her hand, that Acts chapter 4 and verse 12 is the truth, and that people really have a soul, and that there's really a heaven and a hell after this, and if she doesn't do something about it, if she's not vocal about it, they'll never hear the gospel. And she said, "I'm going to get over my fears, and I'm going to be bold for the cause of Christ. Because I'm fully persuaded in the things of God." "And when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled." Hey, these were no keepers of the law. This isn't like Paul. This isn't a Pharisee. The Sadducees, or the Sanhedrin at this point, is amazed that they had such results being fishermen. And they took knowledge of them, they had been with Jesus. Oh, you spend a little time around Christ, and he will change your life. He will give you a boldness. I was talking to a young man, maybe 30, and just getting to know him. Didn't know him at all. We had a I know this person, and he knows that same person, so somehow we got connected, and I'm talking there. And man, he was talking about how he is incredibly fearful about public speaking. Now, this is a grown man, and he goes out of his way to never have to talk in front of groups. Can't stand it. To which I can relate. Say, how do you relate? You preach five times. If you saw me in high school, I went to a public high school up until 11th grade, and I got in no trouble. I didn't drink. I didn't do drugs. I didn't participate in that. I didn't get caught up in the wrong things. I didn't do any of that. But I know, hanging on my conscience, I faked sick one time because in English class, I was going to have to give an oral report. So I faked sick. I did the stomach ache because you can't test for stomach aches. And I told my mom, I felt like I was going to throw up, and I wasn't healthy, and I couldn't go to school, and she didn't know I had a report. Had she known I had a report, she would have known. So she let me stay home that day. I was deathly afraid of talking in front of people. In teen class in 11th grade, when there we are, and I'm going through teens, and the teen pastor asked, he says, anybody have any blessings? I couldn't even raise my hand. I was so nervous about saying anything, anywhere. Say, what happened? I got fully persuaded in the things of God. Hey, how does someone, they just spent some time with Jesus. You know what the lost people said about them? They took notice that they had spent time with Jesus. Why? Because they were fully convinced of what they were saying, of what they were doing. Look at verse 20. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. There was no holding them back. They could not stop it, no matter whether they were in jail, whether you were threatening their life. Why? Because they were fully persuaded. They had a boldness about them because they spent some time with Christ. You spend some time in the Word of God. You spend some time in prayer, and it's not going to be too long. It's not going to be too long until you're going to start speaking up for the things of the Lord. You can't help it. Spending time with Christ, the difference Christ has made in your life, the change He's done, it's just too good not to share. We live in a world where we share our great and our high and low experiences. That's the age in which we live. You take a picture and it immediately asks, would you like to share this? And which platform would you like to share this? Do you want to send this to your favorite friends in your friend list? Do you want to share this to Instagram? Do you want to share this over to Facebook? And we share all of our wonderful experiences. Here I am next to the waterfall. Click. Here I am catching the fish. Click. Right? And we just share these experiences. Hey, you can't spend time with Christ and not share that. It's too good not to. Being fully persuaded in your mind of the things of God will give you boldness. Will give you boldness. Ephesians chapter 4. Point number 1 was boldness. Point number 2. Being fully persuaded will give you sound doctrine. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Hey, that's what's going on right now. Science is trying to undo Christianity and creation. They'll even connect it and say, God used evolution to create. No. Not at all. Not at all. 6 literal 24-hour days. That's it. And what's happening? And people are just like, wow, that sounds so cool. That's great. Hey, get back to your Bible. See what God says about it. Stop listening to that talking person with whatever initials after their name. Hey, they're speaking in foolishness. They're designing ways to pull men away from Christ. It says that it's cunning craftiness, lying in wait to deceive. They would never lie. They're lying. calling evil good and good evil. Man, we live in a day and age, it is just upside down backwards. Backwards. And I see Christians doing some ridiculous things. Say, oh, they just don't agree with you. No, they're just not agreeing with the Scriptures. Just wandering from that which is true. Say, how did that happen? Because they weren't fully persuaded. They've got caught up in the wind of doctrine. You talk to a young person and all of a sudden they start saying, you know, I was thinking, and they bring out one of these crazy doctrines. You weren't thinking, you watched some crazy YouTube video. You read some ridiculous thing online. You didn't come up with that out of the Scriptures. Hey, being fully persuaded will produce sound doctrine. Say, how so? Because the Bible says that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. How can I not be pulled away with every wind of doctrine? Because I know the Word of God. I've studied. I've prayed. I've asked the Lord to teach me things. Is He not the Spirit of truth? Does He not teach us His ways? He does. Hey, if you're struggling with what the Bible says about a certain topic, seek wise counsel. Seek it out. There's some people here that have studied their Scriptures, that know the Word of God. Hey, you got a question about something? Don't go, what does this doctor say about this? Don't Google it. Amen. Call somebody. Hey, get a hold of somebody. Why? Because Google will lead you astray. No, it's got all the answers. It's got some lies in there. The further we get away from the Word of God, this is becoming a last resort. When my life is a complete wreck and train wreck and total mess, let me bust out my Bible and find out what's going on. No, this is the thing that's going to keep us straight. This is the very thing that's going to... The closer you can get to this, the more you apply this, the more you read this, the more you study this, the more you pray over these things, the stronger your doctrine will be. And I don't have to worry, what do you think about this? Or what do you think? I don't have to worry about it because God has already established it. There are certain things, yes, I agree, I don't know. But what does the Bible say? Being fully persuaded will give us boldness. Being fully persuaded will give us sound doctrine. But you're going to have to study. You're going to have to read. You're going to have to turn something off and open something up. Do you hear that? You're going to have to turn something off and you're going to have to open something up. You ought not to be content with just knowing as much as you know about the Lord right now, and this is as high as I go. Hey, study the Scriptures. Study the Scriptures. Well, I like to read commentaries. Study the Scriptures. Dr. Sam Gipps says, don't read a book about a book that you don't read. Right? Isn't that what he says? Hey, why would I read a commentary about the book of Ephesians if I don't even read Ephesians? Study the Scriptures. Fully persuaded leads us to boldness, leads us to sound doctrine. And lastly, James chapter 1. James chapter 1. James chapter 1 and verse 6. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Sounds very familiar or similar to our Ephesians. That was in reference to sound doctrine. This is in reference to faith and prayer. Let him ask in faith. Fully persuaded in faith. It'll give us stronger faith. It'll give us a stronger prayer life. This is just simple logical math. You'll never have answered prayers if you don't pray. Do you understand that? We will never see God work and move in our life if we don't ask Him to work and move in our life. He can answer prayers that we don't ask. Does God certainly have his hand over us? Yes. But how much the more if we bathe our decisions and life in prayer? I had the blessing of coming in contact with some men over the last short period of time, and I asked them, I've told you this, but I asked them, give me advice. I'm 1 year in, and I don't know what I'm doing sometimes. And I have some of these conversations written. The man that's preaching our Bible conference, or missions conference next year, Brother King, I asked him, I said, you know, he pastored for 37 years, I think. Something like that. Now he's in evangelism. Maybe it was 30 years. Does anyone remember? Yeah, it was something along like that. Okay. Anyways, it was a bunch of time. So I'm sitting there at lunch. He's a super friendly guy. He's not like stuffy and all that. And I said, hey, what advice do you? And he goes, two words. Let's pray. He goes, when the situation is out of control and you don't know what to do, just say those two words. Let's pray. Let's just bring it to God. He goes, because quite honestly, there's nothing you can do about it. So we bring circumstances to Christ, to the Lord. We could go around the room and each of one of these situations. Like, we could look at everyone's life and talk about everyone's life and say, what's the answer? What do you need to do? Hey, anybody here have struggles tonight? Anybody? Sure, right? What's the answer? Oh, it's $1 million. If I had $1 million, then everything would be great. No, you'd have a million more problems. What's the answer? Let's pray. Let's bring this before God. God is in control of the situation. Let's take it to the Lord. Let's let Him. And what's going to happen? Our faith is going to grow because we're going to see God answer our prayers. But He can't answer them unless we ask. Last verse, Matthew chapter 21. Hey, I don't know where you're at tonight. I mean, I know where a lot of you are at. I know that you're sitting at 1425 Walker Lake, Ontario Road. I know that. I don't know. Hey, if you're living in the same world I'm living in, sometimes you just scratch your head going, I don't have a firm handle on this. It's kind of shady over here in this section. What do I do? Well, you run to the scriptures and you run to prayer and you seek wise counsel. That'll give us boldness. That'll give us sound doctrine and answered prayers. Answered prayers. Matthew chapter 21 and verse 21. Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not. See, that's that fully persuaded. Do you see the benefit of that? Ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also ye shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and it shall be done. Look at verse 22. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. You're going to get an answer. Why aren't we seeing answered prayers? Could it be because we're not praying? Why would I not pray? Because I'm not fully persuaded. Because I still think I'm in charge. Because I still think I can control the situation. I still think I know what's best. And I've not been convinced that God is the answer. I still think I'm the answer. That's why we don't pray. Because we're trying to fix it on our own. Hey, tonight, simple message. Say, I'm apprehensive about sharing the gospel. Well, spend some time with Jesus. We love to share our food. We love to share our low points. Here I am in the hospital. Click. I'll make a video. I'll tell you all about it. Here I am at the seashore. And look at this giant fish I caught. Look at this beautiful mountain. We love to share all that. Why? Because we spend some time around it. How about we spend some time around Christ? That we be a little more bold in our witness. Number two, how about we study our scriptures? That we stop running to the TV and we stop running to YouTube and we stop running to what our computer says about things and we run to the Scriptures about what it says. You do know that it holds all the answers to any question. Let's get back to the fundamental of praying. Say, today's our fasting day. Of course we're praying. If you have faith and doubt not, all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. Sure, we pray. Are we praying like this? I don't know about you, but we have needs. You have needs. We just had a list of needs. Big things. 3 souls hang in the balance right now. Ashley, Caleb, Tom. Hey, we're praying about some big things. Cancer. That's a scary word. Say, what can I do about it? I can't do anything about it other than take it to the Lord. And I am fully persuaded in my mind that that is the best place for it to be. Let's all stand. Glad you came out on this warm summer night. If you have a few dollars in your pocket, I recommend going to get some ice cream. Take your family out. Say, why would I do that? Because ice cream is wonderful. But do it tomorrow, all right? Can't do it on fasting days. It's going to be warm tomorrow, too. And enjoy those times. Summer goes by quick. Here we are, July 10th already. Just yesterday, we graduated, Janae. Just yesterday. And in 2 minutes, it's going to be Christmas again. And here we are. And there you go. Enjoy the days and the moments that you have. And make it work. Don't spoil your kids. Say, what are you doing? I don't know. All right. Delusional. And that's where we're at. Brother Rodell, will you dismiss us in prayer tonight?